But it's a joy to be here. We love you folks. We thank God for you. I talk about your church around the country. And it is exciting, though, to see what God is doing here. Of course, now I got to be honest and say I'm prejudiced. I love your pastor. He's a fine young man doing a great work for God. And when he married up.
Amen.
And he married one of our young ladies from First Baptist that I love dearly. And what a blessing it is to go around the country and visit all our kids now scattered around the country, around the world. Many of them faithfully serving God, preachers' wives, preachers, missionaries, Christian school teachers. What a joy, what a thrill. But let's look at this little verse, these few verses that I've got here. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. And I'm basically going to, what I want to do with this lesson this morning is I want to encourage you to stay in the book. We are living in a busy day, in a busy age. And it's so easy to allow all of our schedule, the agenda every one of us has, the itinerary that we develop every single day, that we know before I went to bed on a Monday night, I had an agenda, I had an itinerary of what I knew I was going to have to do on Tuesday, and then. Especially as a pastor, I always had to learn how to be flexible because what I had developed that I was going to accomplish on Tuesday, on Monday night, well, a lot of times that thing changed real quick because we had telephones and we were going to, you know, be involved and called into other activity that we didn't plan on. So consequently, when you have that happening, there's got to be changes made and you've got to then maybe eliminate something that was not as high a priority of that which you all of a sudden found out you had to do because there was an hospital call that you had to make. There was a death that came into a family, you know. There was an accident. I mean, whatever. But you always have to be careful that, beloved, you don't fail to get into the Word of God every single day.
Amen.
That's absolutely critical. That's essential for the child of God. And these few verses that we have here in Psalm 19 show us, I believe, as to why that is so essential. Because when you read these verses, which we're going to read here in just a minute after we pray, I'm going to show you again and again and again and again why this Bible, God says, is so vital and is so imperative to you and to me as we walk in this world as the salt and as the light. And that's exactly what Jesus said we are. So let's bow for prayer very quickly, and we'll get into those verses, and I'll give you that little outline, okay? Glad to see you. God bless you. It's a joy to be here. Father, what a blessing. What a delight. What a joy to be back at Blessed Hope Baptist Church with this dear pastor, his wife, Lord, his family, and his church family. I pray now that you'd quiet our hearts. We're so thankful for the few minutes we can just fellowship. We can just visit. But Lord, now we're coming down to the part that we need to focus on what the Scripture says. And so I pray it would be the dear, sweet Holy Spirit of the living God that will be our teacher as well as our instructor in these moments now we spend together in your book, your message, Lord, that you've given to us to where we might be all that you want us to be, to where God will receive the honor and the glory. For we know, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And we ask and pray this in your dear, wonderful, your dear, wonderful, sweet name of Jesus. We ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look at verse number, please, if you will, verse number 7 in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And I've got those last few words underlined in my Bible, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The Word of God is absolutely essential to the child of God. And we are most foolish, beloved, if we don't take time daily to get into this book and to read it and to absorb what God has given us in this book. Because this is where we get our instruction from. This is where we know how to travel. How do we know the will of God for our lives? We know the will of God for our lives through the Word of God. We know the will of God through our lives through prayer. We know the will of God for our lives through circumstances. But out of those three, the most important thing of knowing the will of God is what God tells us in the Word of God. I mean, if you can't justify it, if you can't approve it by what God gives us in this book, then we want to be very careful before we walk out on that road. We want to be very careful. Because if God be God, then He is not going to leave us without a sense of direction. And the sense of direction we need comes from the book He gave us. It's called the Bible. And yet, as I've said already, we are so busy. Sometimes what we start doing, we start putting aside that which we shouldn't put aside because of what is taking place in our lives. Just like I mentioned praying now for Brother Jerry and Cheryl's grandson, Brother Lloyd and Bev's great-grandson on Wednesday. If we believe that God answers prayer, if we believe the Bible tells us that we're to pray without ceasing, if we believe that what Jeremiah penned in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, if we believe that, then I would suggest we spend some time in prayer on Wednesday morning as a body praying for that little guy who's out in Virginia having his heart opened up. In my mind, I can't even envision how they can do that. But yet I know they are. I know they've done it. We've had major surgeries take place in our ministry in Rosemont for years and years and years. Matter of fact, I just had a wedding here a couple of years ago. Matter of fact, you would remember the Dudak family and the Pearson family, there was a major surgery. And yet today, that little girl that went through a major critical, medical situation. I looked at her in a hospital, and in my mind, I'm preparing a funeral message. I didn't think she was going to live. And here I married her a couple of years ago, and now she's a mother. And that came about through the process of osmosis. I didn't fall off the last banana truck that went through town. Man, there is a creator God in this world that has created you and me. And he's telling us that the word of God is powerful. Look at what he says there in verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. This book, beloved, is so powerful that we cannot fail to spend time reading it on a daily basis. Now, I spend a lot of time reading the Word of God as a pastor. But when I became pastor emeritus in 2002, and here it is now 10 years come this August, or June 17th, I will be pastor emeritus of First Baptist Church in Rosemont for 10 years. And incidentally, that pastor emeritus, it means stay out of the way. That's what it means. Just stay out of the way. So I said, well, bless God, I'm capable of doing that. So I simply said, well, one of the staying out of the way means I don't shovel snow anymore. I don't have to go out and start my car up and warm it up for 15 minutes so it's above zero when I get in the car. And especially gas today. And so we got a home down in Florida. And my wife complains when it hits 50. She says, I'm freezing. We were thankful for 50 in Minnesota in the summer. As a matter of fact, we got to Minnesota in 1967, July the 4th, 1967. The temperature was 43 degrees. I walked into the post office the next day and I said to the guy at the desk, I said, can I ask you a question? He said, go ahead, Reverend. I said, when does summer come here? He snapped his finger. He said, you just missed it. Good thing I was saved. But no, the Bible is telling us here that the Word of God is powerful. It has the power to convert the soul. It has the power to bring a lost, hell-bound sinner who knows absolutely nothing about God to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. It's powerful. You don't want to neglect your scripture. Look at what he says in verse number 7 as you read on. He not only says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. He says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Boy, I'm glad God put that in the Bible. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a PhD to understand the Word of God. A little child can understand it. A lost 20-year-old man can understand it. And thank God a 76-year-old grandfather can understand it, because that's exactly how old my dad was when he got saved in 1977. So we need to understand. We need to understand that the scriptures are so plain. It's not rocket science. We don't need to doubt what God says. We need to believe it. And that's a truth I have found out in the last 10 years. Because though I studied that Bible and read that Bible again and again and again, I didn't have the time to read the Bible through every 6 months as I'm reading through now. And what I have learned, Brother Jerry, in the last 10 years as I've been reading that scripture, I'm thinking, oh my Lord, why didn't I do this earlier in my life? To where I would be able to see truth and I'd be able to see principles that I never saw. In those 35 years, I pastored First Baptist Church of Rosemont. Never saw in those 4 years I spent in college, never saw those truths in the 3 years I spent in the seminary. Because they're so plain. I mean, it's like the nose in the front of your face. It's like looking into the mirror. But you're not going to understand those truths, beloved, if you're not in that book, if you're not saturating yourself with the Word of God. They're plain. That's wonderful. A wonderful principle to understand. And then you read on and you look at verse number 8. He goes on and he says in verse 8, he says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. What is that telling us? Well, it's telling us then the scripture, it's pleasing. I mean, you read the Word of God and you're going to see truth again and again and again and again and again. Because it's pleasing. Take your Bibles and go over to Romans chapter 12 real quick. If you don't have these verses of Scripture underlined in your Bible, now I'm sure many of you, I'm quite confident, have. But perhaps there's one or two here that have never looked at this Scripture and you've got these verses underlined in your Scripture. But I would suggest that you look at these two verses when it comes to understanding a principle that's taught in the Word of God, that this Scripture that we read, it is a pleasing experience, because Paul said this to the saints at Rome. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what did I say a few minutes ago? What's the most important, what's the most imperative thing we need to know as a truth in order to understand what the will of God for our lives is? What did I say it was? The Bible.
Yes. Yes.
The Word of God. So the scripture he's telling us, they're powerful. They're plain. They're pleasing. Read on with verse number 8 again. He goes on and he says, not only the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. He says the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's amazing to see where our nation is today in relationship to purity. I said this a couple of, I can't remember when it was. Well, it's less than a month ago. I'm not sure where I even said it, whether it was in a preaching environment, whether it was visiting. You know, you get as old as I am, you don't have the memory you used to have. I've got my 3x5 card here, which has Ellie's name on it, so I don't know who she is. But I'm just kidding, honey, but don't give me that wife look. You ever got the look, guys? How many know what the look is? Oh, you better get acquainted with the look. You'll live longer. Trust me. But I've said again that we have gone to absolutely the dogs in our country in relationship to this word called purity. I said, I was going to tell you this a minute ago. I said in a conversation or preaching, I'm not sure, I can't remember when it was, but I said if I had children living in my home today, I would not have a television. And it's not because of what the program, the content of the program would be. It's what the advertisement is. I wouldn't have one. The advertisement, I mean, good night. You think you're not some kind of a burlesque show sometimes with what they've got for advertisement on our TVs. And then you look at what is taking place all over this nation in relationship to the word purity. And beloved, we have got to understand what's going to take what it is going to take, I believe, in this nation to bring this nation back to a more responsible sense of morality and purity is some type of a revival has got to take place. We are not going to see this nation start to go down a different road, start to go down a different path. If we cannot by some sense of a blessing from God, an absolute miracle from God, see this nation turn back somewhat to the Word of God.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I am so fearful for the future of our country this November. As I look back on my 80 years, and I can look way back beyond those 80 years, I don't know a more important election in the United States of America than November of 2012. Trust me when I say that. Trust me. I've spent 78, 88, 98, 24 years going to Washington, D.C., help me on him, 3-4 times at least a year. And what I've watched take place in our nation's capital from the first time I went to the last time I went, there's no comparison. None. And we need to be awake to what God says in this book, because the commandment of the Lord is pure, and you and I will never change that, because God said it, and that settles it. It's settled, you see, whether I believe it or you believe it. It's settled because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Verse number 9, he says this. He says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That tells me they're permanent. See, the book's not out of date. This idea. Well, we've got to have a Bible where people understand. They understand what is being said in the present culture in which we are living. No. The Bible is not out of date. The Word of God is permanent.
Yes, sir.
And we need to understand that. We need to realize that. Because if it was truth in 1952, that August Sunday night, when I accepted Jesus Christ, it's still true today. Does truth change? Truth is truth. And we got to be so careful. We got to be so sensitive that we don't buy in. We don't buy into some of that rationale that it, you know, comes down life's pathway, that we start embracing it. No, the Word of God is permanent. And so wise we will be as we read it, as we understand it, as we accept it. That truth that God has given us will become more and more and more a reality down deep inside where you and I live as an individual, so we know what we believe. There is going to be no persuasion in relationship. Well, you know, is this really applicable for the day and age in which we live in? Truth, beloved, is truth. It doesn't change. And we could go on and on and on with so many illustrations in relationship to that. Well, I need to give you the last two, because we read here in verse number 10, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Well, I put down the word precious for that one. The Word of God is precious. One of my favorite songs is, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Lead me on, let me stand. Amen. Why? Because the book is precious. Because the book is precious, we have a precious Savior. Yes, sir. And then he goes on and he says this, he says in that verse number 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. You say, what in the world did you use for that one, Brother Johnson? I put this down, the Word of God is preventative. The book has kept this old preacher out of a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. And that's even as when I was a preacher. I mean, I was 29 years old when I surrendered to preach. I'd worked with Southern Bell Telephone Company for 8.5 years. I've told you that story before. God directed me to the ministry. And not a lot of people wanted me to go. Well, matter of fact, after I went, finished all my training, then I believe God's wanting me to go to Minnesota. And a lot of my counselors, godly men, Dr. Bob Billings, you know Brother Billings, with the Lord now many years, Dr. Lee Robertson, one of my heroes. Both of those men, you sure? Old Dr. Bob Billings told me, he said, you don't want to go to Minnesota. He said, Brother Ed, he said, all they do is fight up there. That's what he said. And he was right. But because they're fighting, does that mean I got to fight? No. And you say, how do you stop fighting? Well, if you're so busy seeking to win people to Christ, you don't have time to fight. See, it's where your priorities are. If you got your priorities on a lost world that needs a Savior, you'll be so busy you don't have any time to start fussing with this guy or fussing with that guy because they don't comb their hair the same way, or you don't like the clothes, or whatever, some stupid idea they have. No, I'll tell you what, this book, beloved, this book will protect you. This book, these truths are preventative. And so we need to embrace them. We need to bring them into our lives. Because remember what the Scripture says. And it's very vital and it's very important. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might what? Not sin against thee. So, if the Lord tarries his coming and I come back sometime, I'll talk to you a little bit about how to enjoy the Christian life. Now, you all make a note of that, because I will forget what I said. So, you all remind me, okay? It's a joy to be here. Let's bow for prayer and we got to run. Father, we love you, and what a joy and what a delight is to be back in Jasonville. God, we are certainly grateful. We're certainly thankful for what you've done in this place. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to do it. Now we commit, Father, the morning service to your care and to your keeping. I pray, Lord, you take the preacher, you'd fill him with your Spirit. God, we do commit the ministry to you. God, commit a young lad to you, just a little guy. And we ask, Lord, on Wednesday morning, as that young man goes under the knife, as we often say, that you'll guide those that are going to labor over him, and you'll touch his body, and you'll raise him up to health and strength. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for we know without you, Lord, we could do nothing. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.